Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, November 10, 2024, Romans.
All right, before we get started, there are several things. First of all, there will be a meeting for parents of the children in Bib Ed today after second class. So meeting for parents of kids in Bib Ed today after the second class. Number one. Number two, evangelism at Child Haven went great. Thank you for all of your prayers. And we enter into a new dispensation again this week. Classes will be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The floors are going to be done on Thursday. They don't want anybody in here. You don't want to be in here. Thursday, so classes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And that's great because Monday is Veterans Day. And Rick Castillo's birthday. You going to be here? Okay. That's great. Otherwise, I would have kept your present. See, there you go. All right. So classes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And the meeting for the parents, all parents of Bib Ed kids. After class today. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord, few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that in the days that we are living, we thank you that Jesus Christ controls history. In our nation, which is in apostasy and degeneracy, we thank you that Jesus Christ controls history. In the satanic attack on Israel and Ukraine, we thank you that Jesus Christ controls history. And we thank you for the freedom we have this morning to assemble and worship you through the study of your word. As we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our soul. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we got the Grace in Focus magazine, and of course, you know, Rapid Robert Wilkin is the editor. And he notes, our country and our world are in turmoil. Anti-Semitism is on the rise all around the world. Support for terrorism is growing. Israel is at war with Hamas and Hezbollah, And Iran is involved in the conflict as well. Russia and Ukraine are still at war. We are also in turmoil spiritually. Universalism. Everybody's going to heaven. That's universalism. Doesn't matter whether you're an atheist. Doesn't matter what religion you have. Universalism is now on the rise. Universalism, near universalism. The Pope recently said that all who do good will go to heaven. That's a lie. And most of those people are going to go to hell. But the Pope said they're going to go to heaven. So the Pope recently said that all who do good will go to heaven, including members of all non-Christian religions. He went so far as to say that even atheists will go to heaven if they live good lives. In 2005, interview with Larry King, Joel Osteen said the very same thing. Lordship salvation and work salvation, which are false gospels. No one will be in heaven if you are operating by lordship salvation or work salvation. Lordship salvation and work salvation are still the dominant positions among professing Christians in America. Free grace is not a widely held position. We are an extreme minority. We have a lot to do to bring the message of grace and truth to a very thirsty world. He's coming soon. Until then, let's keep grace in focus. It's very rare today to hear the grace gospel. There is good news. The good news is that salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And if you add one work to faith in Christ, that's a false gospel. There is no salvation. And so we're living in dark, dark days. Spiritually, we're living in dark, dark days. And this is, Bob nailed it. Exactly, right on the head. We are an extreme minority. But this is exactly what the Word of God teaches. The grace gospel. For by grace you are saved through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. Not of works. How can you get any more clear than that? And I told you that when Debbie was in having cancer surgery, the waiting room was filled up. I had a seat, but a lady came in and I got up and I said, please take my seat. And at that time, my knees were pretty good. I could stand for a while. And there was a guy in the back and he came up and he says, you have a marvelous countenance. None of you have ever told me that. You have a marvelous countenance. I said, he said, what are you here for? I said, my wife is having cancer surgery. He said, well, you look at peace. You almost look happy. I said, well, she's a Christian. I'm a Christian. God has a perfect plan for her life, and this is God's plan for her life. And we know that he is in charge, and he's the quarterback. He calls the plays. So this is the play he's called for Deb and for me. So, and he says, well, I'm a Mormon. I said, I was going to say, I kind of figured that. I said, let me ask you, if you die today, are you going to heaven? Yes, because I do a lot of good works. I said, really? Well, the Bible says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and this salvation is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's Ephesians 2:8-9. I heard that was in the Bible somewhere. I said, yes, sir. I said, yes, this isn't an accident that you came up here. God wanted you to hear the grace gospel. And I hope you will listen to it. And if you're trusting in your works, you're going to be in the lake of fire. But if you simply believe in Jesus Christ and trust him and him alone, you will live with God forever in heaven. God has a fantastic plan. His plan of salvation is grace. Operation Grace. But we don't get that today. Today it's just, okay, if you just say you're a Christian, that's good enough. You say you're a Christian, you must be. No, not necessarily at all. There's only one true gospel, only one grace gospel, and there's lots of false gospels. Well, we are in a very, very important chapter in the Word of God, Romans chapter 8. Now, we live in a totally different dispensation than the rest of human history. We live in the church age. Began at Pentecost, will end at the rapture, and this dispensation is totally unique. We live in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. And God, knowing all of that, prepared for us a unique spiritual life that can only be a supernatural way of life that can only be lived by supernatural power, the power of God, the Holy Spirit. For the first time ever in human history, every believer in Jesus Christ, at the moment of faith in Christ, for the first time, is indwelled by God, the Holy Spirit. Universal indwelling of the Spirit. And the filling of the Spirit. At the very same time, universal indwelling of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit at the moment of salvation. The indwelling of the Spirit is permanent. It's there forever. The filling of the Spirit is there until you sin. But God has provided for sin. After you sin, you're no longer filled with the Spirit. Now you're grieving the Spirit and or quenching the Spirit. Now you're out of fellowship with God. But God's already provided for that. When Christ was on the cross, Christ not only paid the penalty for all the sins you committed as an unbeliever, he paid the penalty for all the sins you commit after salvation. And therefore, the only issue of salvation is faith in Jesus Christ. And for you after salvation, the issue of getting back is simply acknowledging your sin to God. Rebound. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit and the spiritual life. Spirituality in the church age is being filled with the Spirit. And it's, you're either filled with the Spirit or you're out of fellowship with God, grieving the Spirit. It's not like, well, I'm 50% filled with the Spirit, or I'm 30%. I realize maybe I'm only 5%, but I'm filled with the Spirit 5%. And no, 100%. Your spirituality is the filling of the Spirit. You're either filled with the Spirit, and that's the spirituality of church age, or you're out of fellowship, grieving the Spirit, and you're living by the power of your sin nature, and you're living in Satan's cosmic system. Romans chapter 8, that's why this is so important. The spotlight is put on the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. And we have exegeted verses 1 through 4, which sound like this. Therefore, now there is no judgment for the ones who are in Christ Jesus, in union with Christ as a result of the baptism of the Spirit. Never occurred before in human history. The baptism of the Spirit. At the moment of faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit enters us into union with Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Again, never occurred before in human history. Because the principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the principle of the sin nature and spiritual death. For what was impossible for the Mosaic law, because it was weak because of the flesh, the sin nature, God the Father, accomplished by sending His own Son, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas. In the likeness of sinful flesh, He took on true humanity. He had to take on true humanity to go to the cross and solve the world problem of sin, and to atone for sin, unlimited atonement. He paid the penalty for the sins of the whole world. He, God the Father, judged sin, the sins of the world, in the flesh, in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, for the purpose that the righteous requirement demanded by the Mosaic law might be fulfilled in us, the ones who do not walk or live according to the sin nature, but who walk and live according to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. That's the filling of the Spirit. So at this point, we stop to study one of the most important doctrines in the church age that you can ever know and understand. This is the key. You have to know the doctrine of the filling of the Spirit. You have to know what spirituality is in the church age, and it's the filling of the Spirit. You got to understand it inside and out. If you're either going to wind up a loser believer because you don't, or you just reject it, you say it's not a big deal. And there's a lot of Christians out there, oh no, that's just not a big, just like Bob Wilkins said, most Christians today, well, I'm a good Christian. I'm good, and that's all that counts. Bull pucky. That is 100% wrong. So we are studying the filling doctrine of the filling of the Spirit, and we are at point 8. We have noted that the filling of the Spirit is God the Holy Spirit controlling the soul of the believer. It's described, Ephesians 5:18, keep on being empowered by the Spirit. It's a mandate, not an option. This is a command. Either you fulfill this mandate from God or you don't. It's not an option for you as a Christian. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, keep on walking, living your life by the agency of the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, keep on walking in the light. 1 John 1:7, we are epistles of Christ written by the Spirit 2 Corinthians 3:3. And we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Spirit simultaneously at the point of faith in Jesus Christ's salvation. We can never lose the indwelling of the Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is permanent. However, as soon as we sin, we do lose the filling of the Spirit, and the sin nature takes over control of our soul. But God has given to us the problem-solving device of rebound, 1 John 1:9. And when we acknowledge our sins to God, we're forgiven and cleansed, restored to fellowship with God, filling of the Spirit and the spiritual life. Once again, God the Holy Spirit takes control of our soul. Because the body is also the headquarters of the sin nature at the moment of salvation, God the Holy Spirit also indwells the body for counteraction. Now there is a war going on inside of each one of you between the sin nature and God the Holy Spirit. Who is going to control your soul? This war is described in Galatians 5, 16, and 17. The war is between the sin nature and God the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit involves the body of the believer, while the filling of the Spirit involves the soul of the believer. The ministry of God the Holy Spirit to the church age believer is the same ministry that he had to our Lord Jesus Christ during the first advent. The relationship of God the Holy Spirit to our Lord Jesus Christ in the incarnation set the precedence for the church age believer. Our Lord's humanity was sustained by the filling of the Spirit 100% of the time. He was impeccable, sinless perfection. The filling of the Spirit is related to spirituality and spiritual growth and victory over the sin nature and Satan's cosmic system, 2 Peter 1, 2 through 11. The righteous requirement demanded by the Mosaic Law is fulfilled by the church age believer who walks by the agency of the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, and not by the sin nature. The results of the filling of the Holy Spirit, well, they're wonderful results. The first result, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, and self-control. Second result, Christ is magnified in the inner life, and he is manifested to others that you are a letter of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:3. This is the witness of your life. Third result, he strengthens you with power in the inner man so that Christ makes himself at home in your heart. Ephesians 3, 16 and 17. The fourth result, Christ is exalted in your body, whether by life or by death. Philippians 1, 19 to 21. The fifth result, the filling of the Spirit is the basis for the perception and metabolization and application of the Word of God. John 14, 26, John 16, 12 to 14, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 14. The sixth result is divine guidance. Divine guidance. That's coming up for us when we get to verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. The seventh result is the true function of worship for the royal family, Philippians 3, 3. The eighth result is effectiveness in witnessing. Effectiveness in witnessing, fulfilling our royal ambassadorship, Acts 1, 8, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 20. And the ninth result is effectiveness in prayer, Ephesians 6, 18, James 5, 16. Now that brings us to point eight. Point eight in the doctrine of the filling of the Spirit. And point eight is the question, when is spirituality and the filling of the Spirit characterized by emotions or ecstatics? That's point eight. It's a question. When is spirituality and the filling of the Spirit characterized by emotions or ecstatics? And the answer is only in the millennial kingdom. Not today, not in the church age, only in the millennial kingdom. So let's amplify this, subpoint one. In the church age, the believer represents the absent Christ who is right now at the right hand of God the Father. He's not present here on earth. Resurrection, ascension, and session, he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. So in the church age, the believer represents the absent Christ who is now at the right hand of God the Father. Two, therefore, the purpose of the filling of the Holy Spirit during the church age is related to the fact that Christ is absent. The purpose of the filling of the Holy Spirit during this dispensation, and there's something, dispensational truth is not taught in Christianity. And if you don't have dispensational truth, you're going to crash and burn. Therefore, the purpose of the filling of the Holy Spirit during the church age is related to the fact that Christ is absent. Three, therefore, the character of the filling of the Holy Spirit during the church age is different than the character of the filling of the Holy Spirit during the millennial kingdom. Because in the millennial kingdom, Christ is on the earth. Christ is present. And so it's a whole different. There is also the filling of the Spirit in the millennial kingdom, but that is emotional. That has great ecstatics because Christ is present. So therefore, the character of the filling of the Spirit during the church age, where we are, when Christ is absent, is different than the character of the filling of the Spirit during the millennial kingdom when Christ is present on the earth. Four. Therefore, the function of the filling of the Spirit during the church age is designed to provide the ability to learn the Word of God and apply the Word of God as the fulfillment of the unique spiritual life of the church age. Therefore, the function of the filling of the Spirit during the church age is designed to provide the ability to learn the Word of God and to apply the Word of God as the fulfillment of the unique spiritual life of the church age. To whom much is given, much is expected. Much has been given to us. To whom much is given, much is expected. Five. In this way, the church age believer fulfills his royal ambassadorship, representing Christ, who is now at the right hand of God the Father. In this way, the church age believer fulfills his royal ambassadorship, representing Christ, who is now at the right hand of God the Father. And we need special power, divine power, to do this. The divine power of God the Holy Spirit is the basis on which we operate. Six, emotion is not our power. Emotion is not our power. Now, we all have emotions. We have a soul. God gave us a soul, and a part of the soul is emotions. And there's nothing wrong. Emotions are not sinful. There's nothing wrong with emotions. And they respond. But emotions are to be responders. And when you learn truths of the Word of God, the Word of God, your emotions will respond to that and be wonderful. Be absolutely great and wonderful. I was watching the Rebel football game last night. Whew. That was a close one. Came down to the end, right down to the very end, the Rebels won by 2 points over Hawaii, in Hawaii. And we've been playing Hawaii and UNL have been playing together back and forth for about 36 times. But the team who play at home always wins. The home team always wins. I think there's only two times that the home team didn't win. And it looked like the Rebels were gonna lose this one too. But when the game ended, we had to get a first down. Hawaii was out of timeouts. We got a first down. The clock ran out. And we won by two. Barry Odom is the coach of UNLV. He's always been never shows emotion. And all the game, I've never seen him show any emotion. Soon as we got the first down and won the game, he just, ah! That's the coach. The coach is doing that. I go, man, I've never seen him show emotions like that. That's the good use of emotions, responding. And God gave us emotions, so it's a part of our soul, but they are to be responders. You don't live your life by your emotions. But it responds to great things, it responds to truth, responds to the Word of God. So point six, emotion is not our power. We all have emotion as a part of our soul, and it provides also capacity for life. But emotion is not the filling of the Spirit or the power to live the spiritual life. The filling of the Holy Spirit is never emotional in the church age. It will be in the millennium, but not today in the church age. Seven. In the church age, there are two warnings against emotions and ecstatics for the royal family of God. In our dispensation where we are living, there's two warnings. You need to know these. So turn over to Romans chapter 16. See, we're in Romans on Sunday morning. We'll get here. We'll get to Romans 16 next week. Romans, I just seen if you're awake, that's all. Romans 16, verse 17. I urge you, brethren, fellow believers, to watch out. Now, that to watch out, if you have a military background, it means be on red alert. All of you should be on red alert. Watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. That's separation. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ. Who are they serving? They are serving their own emotions. Emotions. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. That's the first warning given to us by Paul in Romans chapter 16. Now he also covers this in 2 Corinthians. So turn over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 11. And the believers in Corinth were operating by their emotions, not the filling of the Spirit. They set the world record on reversionism and categories of reversionism. Paul says, I can't teach you as spiritual, I can only teach you as carnal. You've been believers for years and years and years, and you're still babies. You've never grown up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 11. Our mouth, Paul and all of his faithful team, has communicated freely to you, communicated the grace and truth of the Word of God to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is open wide in communicating the truth of the God-breathed Scriptures. You're not being restrained by us. They were accusing that of Paul. You're not being restrained by us, but you are restrained by your own emotions. You're operating by your emotions. No spirituality, no filling of the Spirit. So in the church age, there are two warnings against emotions and ecstatics for the royal family. Romans 16, 17 and 18, 2 Corinthians 6, 11 and 12. 8. Emotions are designed to respond. They're responders. They're great. Nothing wrong in itself of emotion, but emotions are designed to respond to the absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart. Emotions are designed to respond to the absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart. But emotion is not a characteristic of the filling of the Spirit. 9. Only in the millennial kingdom, when Christ is present on the earth, does emotion and ecstatics characterize the filling of the Spirit. Only in the millennial kingdom, when Christ is present on the earth, does emotion and ecstatics characterize the filling of the Spirit. Because in the millennial kingdom, the filling of the Spirit is designed to appreciate Christ, the present Christ, the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, who is now here, ruling on planet Earth. Therefore, emotions and ecstatics are a legitimate part of the filling of the Spirit in the millennial kingdom. And this is where our Tuesday night class, normally Tuesday, Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, teaches this. Joel 2, 28, and it will come about after this, I, God the Father, will pour out my Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, on all mankind. Remember, the millennial kingdom begins with believers only. Believers only. Everyone on planet Earth in the millennium at the beginning are believers only. I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams with prophetic meaning. Your young men will see visions in the ecstatic state. Great emotionalism. And even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, in those days, in the millennial kingdom. So, in the dispensation of the church age, spirituality is the filling of the Spirit. And it's not based on emotions. Unfortunately, in our apostasy and degeneracy, there are many pseudo-systems of spirituality. Many pseudo-systems of spirituality. Spirituality in our dispensation is the filling of the Spirit. But there, as we speak, there are many pseudo-systems of spirituality. So that's point nine. Point nine, pseudo-systems of spirituality. Pseudo-spirituality number one. Pseudo-spirituality number one. Oh, they, and since I have been here, we have had people visit Las Vegas for some business or whatever, and they come to church, and then after Bible class, they come up here, and they say, boy, we can't wait to get out of Las Vegas. There is gambling. There's gambling in Las Vegas. You can't be a Christian and gamble. I said, really? I missed that passage in the Word of God. We can't wait to get out of here. I didn't say anything, but I'm going, I can't wait for you to leave. And please don't come back until you learn what real spirituality is. So first of all, pseudo-spirituality number one, spirituality by obeying taboos. Taboos. Sounds like Halloween, doesn't it? Boo. Spirituality by obeying taboos. And there are multitudes of taboos that the legalists have come up with. First of all, if you want to be spiritual, you have to give up playing cards. You can't play cards. And there are a lot of legalistic believers out there who will tell you that you can't play card games where there are faces on the cards, kings and queens and jacks. But they'll tell you you can play Uno. They play Uno, but they won't play poker. That's sinful. You cannot play poker. You can't play blackjack. If you do, you are not filled with the Spirit. You are not spiritual. And really funny, occasionally I have gone down for entertainment. I was at the blackjack table, sitting there, the guy sitting next to me. And the gal who was the dealer, I gave her the gospel, and she believed in Christ as her Savior. And after she believed in Christ as her Savior, she came to Upland Bible Church. And she was a dog lover and brought her dog. We have the church of dog lovers. They all bring their dogs. And that's great. And she came and sat in the back, and she told the guy sitting next to me, this person, he's a priest. She called me a priest. I go, well, a royal priest. I'm not going to explain everything. And he goes, what? Are you a pastor? I go, yes. He goes, oh, I'm a deacon. You are? I'm a deacon in a Baptist church. Oh. If my pastor knew I was playing blackjack, he would throw me out of the church. I said, if he throws you out of the church, come on over to ours. It's not a sin to play blackjack. There's nowhere, I've looked, nowhere in the Bible it says you cannot play blackjack and be spiritual. You can't play poker and be spiritual. But that is legalism. It is full of all kinds of crazy things. Second taboo, no drinking. No drinking alcohol. You can drink water, grape juice. No drinking alcohol. Now, let me add this. If you are an alcoholic, alcohol is over for you. Over. If you're an alcoholic, you're going on, you got to go on the wagon and that's it. Because all you're doing is killing yourself. Alcoholics kill themselves. It's suicidal. You are killing yourself with alcohol. If you're an alcoholic, forget it. Now, if you're not an alcoholic, is it sinful to drink alcohol? Well, the Lord turned the water into wine. He didn't turn it into grape juice. He turned it into wine. It was the best wine ever. Not the stuff that Tim drinks down here. This was the best wine ever made. So, it's not a sin to drink alcohol, wine. I don't see any benefits to hard liquor at all. I don't see any benefits to beer, except giving you a beer belly. That's about the only thing I see beer does good for you. But it's not a sin to drink alcohol. But that's another taboo. A third taboo is you can't go to movies. You can't go to movies. A fourth taboo, you can't dance. No dancing. And if you do, no cheek to cheek. And fifth, no smoking. Now, spirituality by obeying taboos has no substantiation in Scripture. A taboo is something forbidden by tradition, social usage, or some form of authority. A taboo is a prohibition set up by a religious group, but it is not forbidden by the Word of God. Therefore, a taboo is a superimposition of legalism. Legalism on the Word of God. Taboos are the customs of legalists. So, a couple of principles, and we'll take a break here. Anything an unbeliever can do is not the spiritual life. Principle number one, anything an unbeliever can do is not the spiritual life. Legalists are always offended by anything related to grace. It is not our objective to superimpose our own idea of right and wrong on others. We are each to live our own life as unto the Lord without superimposing our personal standards on other believers. The principle of the Word of God is this: live and let live. Live and let live. All right. We'll take a break and take it up here for part two in a few minutes.